Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Push My Buttons Games podcast. This is episode 64, I believe. It's me. It's Luke. I'm here. I'm joined, as always, by the captain.
Hey, everyone. Captain Platinum here.
And an actual real-life panda.
An actual real-life panda. I'm not as panda-y tonight, I don't think. Yeah. Like, I'm more of, like, I don't know. What's a black panda called?
A panda? just a panda.
Just a panda. Well, there's a red panda, then there's regular panda, and then there's trash panda. You know what? I'm gonna be a trash panda tonight.
Okay. Trash panda Pat's here. And then we have a blast from the past for people that remember this show's iteration back when it was the Pixelated Power Hour.
I was a part of that.
That would be me. The Punducer.
Yeah, he's back.
Oh my god. I was talking to a coworker who also makes a lot of puns, and I'm like, you're not as good as the Punducer. And she's like, okay. Like, damn it. You're supposed to take that offensively.
Oh man. Yeah, it's been a while, but we finally got him back on to talk about some video games with us. So
video games.
God dang Vichy games. So do we want to talk about what we've been playing first, or do we want to do some news and then talk about what we've been playing?
I think playing.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I know this is such a surprise, but I've been playing Pokemon.
She's been making sandwiches.
I've been making sandwiches, and as much as I hate that drag and drop game style, I'm starting to get like annoyed and competitive with myself, and I'm like, I'm the best fucking sandwich maker. Like, damn, I put that top bread piece on, the fucking best ever. I bet nobody does it that good.
It's so funny because I'm the opposite. I'm like, I'm just gonna go buy the food. I ain't gonna make a sandwich. I'm gonna go buy the food from the food place.
Oh my god, it's the fucking crafting all over again.
It is the crafting all over again. So
I don't want to get into it.
So how is it going?
It's going great. Like, now I'm breeding and making sandwiches, and my Pokedex for the Pokedex of this one is halfway full. And I beat a couple of the things that I'm supposed to beat main storyline, but I keep getting distracted because I just want to catch Pokemon. So.
I started it finally. I've done 4 gyms, I've done 3 Titans, and 2 of the Team Star bases.
And a partridge in a pear tree?
Yes, and that as well.
A partridge in a pear tree. Did you guys read the thing about how every single thing in that little nursery rhyme, or however the crap it goes, is about birds? Like,
no.
They're all birds? Yeah, even the 5 golden rings, those are birds.
But birds aren't real.
Birds are not real.
Birds aren't real. No, the way I did it was immediately look up what of the Kanto region Pokemon there were, and immediately went and got all of them, and then I came back and started doing stuff. So Panda Pat, what's your lineup right now?
How much, first of all, how many Kanto Pokemon are in there?
Not a lot.
37.
37.
In a row? In a row?
I don't know. I can't okay. remember, but it's
Is
not
it
a
more
ton.
More than 20?
No.
No.
Well, are you counting evolutions? Are you counting evolutions? Okay, so yeah, less than 20.
Okay. Because the dex is 400 out of the 900 total, so I'm
right.
just trying to figure out how many probably are from Kanto. Okay, so my lineup right now is Mascarda. I cannot fucking say their name. I took the cat Pokemon for the starter, and I've kept her because I enjoy her. Especially since my character's female, my Pokemon's female.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have, which I'm really excited about because most all of my favorite Pokemon are actually in this game. I have Sableye, my very favorite Pokemon, which was a pain in the ass to catch. I don't know why it took me so long to catch him. And then I have Ampharos, which is a favorite Pokemon. I have Medicham, which is a favorite Pokemon. And then I have Breloom, which is a favorite Pokemon. And I think that's my full lineup. Am I missing anybody? Oh, Gardevoir.
Okay. Mine is, to the surprise of no one, Arcanine, Gyarados, Scyther, Pikachu, Haunter, and Dugtrio. Because I can't have Onix. If Onix was in the game, he would be my ground rock type Pokemon. But yeah, again, to no one's surprise, Luke uses the exact same goddamn team he uses every single time that it's applicable. I did have a dog team though, where it's Arcanine and then Lycanroc. I got the new ghost dog and I got him evolved. And it said he was 6'7", and I was like, Jesus, LeBron. I did not name it LeBron, but
have you picnicked with it?
Yes, it's huge.
I remember when I named a Ponyta LeBron Flames.
Yes,
LeBron Flames.
That was amazing.
That was an epic day.
And then I've got the Dausch Bund, the fucking. the evolution of Fido. He's little hot buns. And then Houndoom. I got him too in my dog team. And I finally found an Eevee. I caught an Eevee and a Ditto within like 10 minutes of each other. And then so I've been pumping out all the Eeveelutions by being like, hey, you guys want a picnic and fuck? So that's what they do.
Surprisingly, I haven't seen any Eevees, but I have seen Flareon, Umbreon, and Espeon.
See, I the only Eevee I saw was the one that I caught. But I took them to the, because I can't drop them off at a fuck factory in this one, so we gotta have sexy picnic time.
And make a fucking sandwich.
And I just sit there and watch them while I eat a sandwich
first before the sandwich is made.
Like, you guys know what to do. Put some eggs in that basket, and then you get a bite.
You gotta make the sandwich, and it makes them have more eggs.
Who ordered the tadpoles?
Gross.
Yeah, I set it down because there's like not a timer. It's easier than going to one of the nurseries, but it also is like anti, intuitive for me playing Pokemon, because that's the way I've always done it, was take them to a place, leave them there,
and walk away
and come back. But this time, like, if you eat the food that gives egg power, and then you just have those two in your party, and you just leave it there for 10 minutes.
Yep.
Like, I left it there. I went and I got a sandwich. I got a drink. I made some lunch. I came back and there were 4 eggs. And I was like, sick. This is awesome. And then I got my little fletchling, the thing that you taught me with the hatching.
Yeah, Fletchinder.
I got that. And then I just ran around on my dragon motorcycle Pokemon thing. But Sam or Captain Platinum, you guys played the new Pokemon yet?
I have not.
Nope, I'm on Sword, and I haven't touched it since I got back from vacation.
Wow.
Have you been playing anything else, Pat, or do you want to toss it over to Captain Platinum?
No, I'm not allowing myself to touch other games.
Okay, Captain. I know what you've been playing. I have to tell you to the point that I got to, so you can't spoil anything for me.
Well, so you're playing Divine Knockout as well? That just totally does not seem like a game you're playing.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny? I did download and play that. So can you turn off the security cameras in my bedroom, please? You weirdo. Because it's God of War, right?
Yeah. There is a game called Divine Knockout.
Yeah, I know. And I have been playing it. It was the free game on PlayStation.
Yes, it was.
Weird. Do you guys call each other and match outfits too in the morning?
No, we just do it. We don't have to communicate. Know? Yeah, we just know. But in God of War, I just got to the house where the dwarves are at.
Okay.
As far as I am at. So.
Okay, I'm a little bit further than you are.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. I probably hit 14 or 15 hours of gameplay. See if I can tell real quick on the app.
Yeah, I'm not anywhere near that, but I'm pretty sure you're a little more thorough when playing through it than I am.
Yeah,
I'm like, give me the story, glub, glub, glub.
So this one's nice, is like you get to an area and it's like, hey, there's something you can do over here, or we can go this way and do the story. So that's been really nice. I've enjoyed the banter between the two of them. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you played the first one, Mimir is back, you know, the talking head on his hip.
And so, you know what's funny about that? I just thought about it. I was watching. I was like, what if Kratos rips ass? Like, he's...
You just hear Mimir him going,
right, num, right there. Like... But with Scottish.
That's true.
Scottish.
Yeah, but in Scottish.
So, yeah,
dehydrated.
So, yeah, I won't go into that. I mean, I know the game's only a couple months old, so I won't go into any more details. But, yes, I have played that. Platinum 72 was acquired, and that was Stray. So
nice! I mean, I'm proud of you, but, like...
Also...
I'm a little jealous that I didn't play it as much as you did, because apparently I'm not a cat person.
Or is Jamie just a cat person too, and he's now like fully in it?
Didn't have any pets?
Nope.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Are you allergic to cats?
Nope, I'm just a dog person.
There we go. That's what's up.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So since I got back, definitely holiday time was busy. So yeah, Stray I finished and then got the platinum shortly thereafter. Hardest. Really not even the hardest trophy, but yeah, you have to beat the game in under 2 hours. I did it in an hour 42, I think. And
that's
you can
deep.
Pretty much, yep. Yeah. If you know exactly what you're doing, you can blast through that game.
Nice.
I did try Divine Knockout, because I do have the PlayStation All-Stars. And if you played one of the games of the month, you got 50 coins or points or whatever they're calling them. So I downloaded that and did the tutorial and then did that.
Yep, that's about as far as I got to.
It's basically Smash Brothers, though. Yep, like, in a way, you're Smash Brothers. And I played just a hair more of Dragon Quest Heroes, the World Trees Woe, and the Blight Below. But yeah, I just completed another level.
That sounds like a dope-ass rap album.
So right? Is it like that Multiverse, which is just Smash Brothers DC?
The Dragon Quest Heroes is basically Dynasty Warriors and Hyrule Warriors.
I was talking about the knockout game.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like Smash Brothers. They give you like 3 special attacks, and then like, hey, if you get knocked out, jump and then do this attack to get back into the ring. And
yeah, that's Smash Bros. 101.
Yep, basically.
Yeah, I was actually playing Multiverse co-op with somebody. I would not play with any randoms, and I'm still undefeated on Multiverse after 43 matches.
It's because you use Ultra Instinct Shaggy, isn't it?
No.
Ultra Instinct Shaggy. Actually,
the woman I beat everybody's ass with is Wonder Woman.
That's awesome. Oh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I've been playing. So, hopefully, Platinum 73 and 74 will be coming soon as I tear through these two. So,
it's awesome. There you go. All right, Sam, what have you been playing?
Quite a multitude, but here lately, the past 4 or 5 weeks, I've been back into Final Fantasy 14. I took a 4-year break after post Heaven's Ward, which was the first expansion. Mm-hmm. And I had to take a break because life, and never thought I'd get back into it. Got back into it, and I'm all the way up to the newest expansion now. I'm on that one. I've been having a lot of fun with that one. Over the past year, I still go back and the ones I still go back and play that I've already beat. There's one called Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, which if anybody's a fan of Castlevania Symphony of the Night, that pays complete homage to it. Like, it is such a fantastic game. And then recently, because I had been playing Bloodstained, my buddy told me about Blasphemous. He's like, if you like that sort of challenge, but with some refreshing mechanics, Blasphemous is good. And I know that one's been out for, I think, a couple of years now, but I've just got into it, and it's pretty wicked. It's instead of being 32-bit, it's 16-bit graphics. So it looks like it came from like the Sega Genesis era. For the 32-bit reign. And then, I mean, I have not played. I mean, everybody knows me for Rocket League, but I haven't been playing that a lot. Just off and on here and there. And then I play a lot of Texas Hold'em games. I have like three or four of them on my phone and then one on Steam. And when I get bored or don't feel like pushing a bunch of buttons, I play Texas Hold'em.
And you said Blasphemous was the game, correct, that your friend recommended to you?
Yes.
Because there's actually a crossover between Ritual of the Night and Blasphemous. Crossover. Yep.
Really? Actually didn't know that.
It's a free update, and it was titled Strife and Ruin. No, it came out like a year and a half ago. So, I mean, there's your walk right into it.
Yeah, I just like Bloodstained for me is definitely better than Blasphemous, but that's my bias being a Symphony of the Night fanboy.
Right.
Because it pays so much homage and there's so much you could miss if you don't know Symphony of the Night really well.
And you know what's great? I actually just rewatched or started to rewatch the Castlevania anime.
Yeah.
And it's so good. It's so good. There's I've talked about it before, but the part where they're in the fight in Dracula's castle in season two, and they're playing the orchestral version of Bloody Tears in the background.
Yeah.
It's chef's kiss. Perfect. So good. I've been trying to find the soundtrack for season two on vinyl because I feel like I need that in my life, but not happen.
Yeah, I've actually with Bloodstained Ritual of the Night over the past, because I got it like 10 months ago. I remember it was just towards the end of winter, and I played it again, beat it, and then I was like, okay, I'll play another game.
Right.
And then since then I've gone back through and done, because you can just keep doing new game pluses and just keep leveling up. I think I'm on my fifth or sixth run through that. That's in under awesome. A year. I just, that game is, it's fantastic. I love it.
It's awesome.
And they keep doing little things, like they did a Child of Light update in August where you could play as the Child of Light in there, Aurora.
Okay.
And they've added some, just like they actually added a 8-bit mode or 1986 mode.
That's awesome.
Just after or just before I got it. And I was like, oh, cool. So I've tried that out, because there's actually some instances in that game where it switches, like you click something and it switches you to an 8-bit background, like old Castlevania look.
That's so cool. But
your character stays the same. It's way cool. And that's actually how you get one of your special abilities. How you get abilities are the crystals in there, and it gives you a crystal that summons a demon that does like a wall of fire that starts from him and goes across the entire screen.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But that part was, oh my god, I died like 12 times the first time I tried it. Just because he has it's not like most games where they have like three moves. He has like 12, and he does them just randomly.
Oh no. So,
yeah.
Yeah, no, that's cool. So I guess on to what I've been playing. I took a step back from the basic bro games, you know, sports and first person shooters, to actually play some games. So again, I started Pokemon Scarlet. Like gym wise, I think I'm like at the halfway point, but now is when I'm going to slow down. I know how Pat, you said like you started and you're just not progressing because you're too busy going around catching everything.
It's hard. Progressed. I struggle with open worlds.
Yeah. I've progressed enough in the story where I feel good. That I feel like, okay, I've accomplished. Now let me take a breath. Now I am in that mode of trying to catch all the Pokemon, leveling my team up and doing the raids and all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of where I'm at on that. I picked up, again, God of War. Been playing that. That one I was thinking about streaming it, but then I said, no, I kind of want to sit there and enjoy it and just like soak it in. And then, so that one might take me a little bit to get through, but once I do, I'm going to do a new game plus, and I am going to stream that one. because I can kind of focus on talking a little bit more rather than just being like, shut up, I gotta listen.
Yeah, that's what I did with God of War. I didn't stream God of War. I thought about it, and I streamed Stray, but I didn't do God of War.
Right. And then the other one that I've been playing, I picked up Sonic Frontiers for PS5. It's an open world Sonic game. I know Jeremy has played it, and I asked him if it was something that I would like, and he said he had it for Switch, but I was like, I really don't want to play it for Switch. I kind of want to play it for like one of the, you know, big consoles. So I've been playing it with that. It is really cool. It's got a lot of cool mechanics. Still trying to figure out what the hell's happening story wise, but literally it's an open world, and I go fast and I get a runner. They have a little move where you run around in circles and you can see your trail. And then like, if you let go of the button, when you're crossing the trail, it causes like a little sonic boom explosion inside the circle. it's awesome.
So I was just thinking about the one time when you were playing God of War and you're running around in the snow.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and I was like, you're doing a trail to, you know, make a penis, right?
Yeah. Oh no, that was Assassin's Creed. That was Valhalla. Okay. Yeah, that was Valhalla that I made the giant snow dick.
Yay!
yeah. That and then I jumped into it from the cliff, which I still need to beat that. I still need to jump back into that game. I haven't played that in a while. But yeah, so I'm kind of playing all three of those right now. It's one of those things where I just kind of want to get into some games that I missed last year. They're a little more available now. But yeah, that's kind of what I've been playing.
Have you thought about starting Gotham Knights or picking up Midnight Sun? I know Midnight Sun is 33% off right now, and one guy at work is loving it. Logged 56 hours already over the break between Christmas and New Year. Yeah,
I heard. I think that was the one that was. I think that was the one that you were looking at, right, Pat? The Midnight Sun.
Yes, what was so? I was super super intrigued because I'm like, yeah, this looks like a sexy Marvel game. I'm into it. But then I was like, oh, the gameplay is like card gameplay, and then you do like fighting based off of your cards. And I'm like, that's going to be complicated. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to like immerse myself in the universe, in the comic book universe, to get myself like into it enough that
that's card a smart plan. That's a smart plan.
Won't bother me. So there's Marvel actually a novel Gathering? That I'm about to finish. Yeah, right. there's a novel that I'm about to finish, and I've been reading the comics from like the newest series of comics that they did. So I'm getting there. I'm kind of like, I mean, I like half of these characters.
Well, maybe by the time you finish Pokemon, it'll be a good jumping on point for you.
Yeah.
Okay. I got some stories. First,
real
one,
quick, can I confess something?
Yes.
I still haven't beat the first God of War. I borrowed it. I borrowed
my brother
it
in and Christ. We
could not finish it. I didn't have time to finish it. And then I believe it was your copy that I borrowed. And then I had to give it back. And then I just haven't gone back to it.
Don't worry. You can start the new one. And they literally have right before you start the game, God of War recap. And they tell you all of the things that happened in the first game.
Nice. Just a lot of boy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Boy.
I'm gonna do that one day.
So
when you said first one, I thought you were talking like the 2002 one.
Oh no. No. No, I guess it would be God of War 4. I have not completed. Yeah.
God of War the reboot.
It's not really a reboot. It is a continuation of the story. It's just called God of War still, which is weird.
When you start the new God of War, they kind of start after the prologue or the tutorial, I guess, with that secret ending from the first game. I know I showed that to you, Sam.
I don't know.
When his hammerness shows up.
When what? Oh, yeah, when Thor. Yeah. Yeah. And he's yeah. So a burly ginger.
Yeah. So yeah. You get that. You get that at the beginning of this game.
Nice.
And Thor is large. He dwarfs Kratos in this game.
Yeah, I figured. And, yeah, I mean, he looked big in there, so yeah. I figured he's probably what, like 7-8 feet tall.
I thought 7 feet was where Kratos was at.
I thought Kratos was. Yeah, well, I guess yeah. Kratos is between 6'8" and 7 foot. I wouldn't know. I haven't really looked up the specs, but yeah, he's a large.
Okay, no, large Kratos thing. Is 6'4".
6'4", okay. So yeah, I mean, if Thor's a couple of heads above him, towers over him, and make him about 8 feet or so.
Yeah, they say Thor in God of War Ragnarok is a little bit over 7 feet.
Oh wow, I figured it'd be about 8,
but he's also, it's like, you know, when you see a 6'5" guy next to not just a 7-footer, but that 7-footer also being Shaq.
Yeah,
it adds to the. The size, you know. But yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
Odin was a little weird for me, but I'll get over it. But yeah, so you can jump right into this new one and still get recapped with everything that happened to the first one before you even start the game, and you'll be good to go.
Nice.
Okay, so quick news story. I want to start out with my favorite one. So in the United States, there's a thing going on in the House of Representatives about the who's going to be the majority leader. So the way they do it is they have to constantly, you know, while they're voting, every single time they vote, each representative has to say who they voted for. And there's 435 votes. So on one day, on the fourth reading through of who they're voting for, Representative Jared Huffman from California, one of the guys that was up for it, his name was Hakeem Jeffries. So this is where I can hear Pokemon happening, ma'am. I can hear it. but he this is gamer culture is now in government. He leaned back and yelled, "Hakeem Jeffries," just like Leroy Jenkins. And there was on Twitter, someone said, "I believe that Representative Jared Huffman just yelled Hakeem Jeffries in the style of Leroy Jenkins, internet humor. Can you confirm?" Response from him. Yep. I said what I said. If Republicans are going to make us sit through this repeated self-flagellation, might as well make it memorable. So there we go. Gamers in government.
I love it.
I think that's amazing. Okay.
So we'll stop hearing about violent video games cause violent kids.
Yeah, no, they make state representatives.
Well, now maybe in the House of Representatives we can get like a level up system and a reputation system,
right?
Or they just
open up a Mortal Kombat stage under the dais. Someone uppercuts someone through the roof.
Speaker of the House has to go through the last tower.
Oh no!
Then at the top of the tower is just Trump, but he's Goro. Four-armed Trump. Oh man! All right. So guys, I don't know if you know this, but the PlayStation 5 shortage is over.
Oh, damn.
According to the PlayStation boss.
Yes, sir.
He said the company is.
And I actually saw some at Walmart today.
Really? Yeah,
I saw some at GameStop and I was like, well, maybe he's right.
Yeah. And they have all the GameStops. They all have a PlayStation in stock.
Oh yeah. On the signs outside. Yep. So it says the company has sold 30 million worldwide despite the chip shortages. But he said at the CES, which was this week, He said the PS5 supply improved towards the end of last year. He's happy to share that December was the biggest month ever for PS5 consoles. We've now sold more than 30 million. Everyone who wants to buy a PS5 should have a much easier time finding one in retailers globally. So I feel like they finally filled all of the orders that they already had, and now they had surpluses in the warehouse that they can just start shipping.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it was I remember the madhouse that it was trying to get either of them. Either like Xbox ended up being a little easier to find, and I don't know if that was because of like a lot of them are produced here versus being imported in. I'm not sure what it was, but I was able to find Xboxes before I was able to find PlayStations.
Mm-hmm. I was able to find the non-disc one, which I don't necessarily like, but I'm not gonna trade it. Like, it's not that big of a deal. And I actually got my PS5 finally. Not that I was trying, but I finally got one last month. My coworker sold me theirs, so
that's cool. I don't know. What do you guys? Do you guys think that's? A positive sign for.
I hope it's stuff? A positive sign because I hope the price tag starts to go down a little bit.
Well, and technically we're 3 years in, and they're trying to push out consoles every 7 years.
Right, we're over halfway through the life cycle, right, and they're like, "You can get one now.
You can get one now." So, and they won't fix the problem because that honestly causes more drive for people to buy them, and it causes more drive for people to buy them at you know, full price instead of waiting for, you know, the first set of discounts to come out, which is usually 6 months to a year after the system releases. So they're never going to fix that problem. That's always going to be a thing. The Wii system made such an impact that they're always going to do this, whether it's legitimate or not.
I did, you know, it's funny, speaking about that, I did hear rumors that they're pretty much the OLED was like the last significant like upgrade thing they're doing to the Switch. So that usually leading into them developing another console.
Yeah. They said that they were going to do another one, but then they're like, just kidding, we're not actually going to do one.
Right. And see, I always worry about every other system with Nintendo. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we had Nintendo 64. Awesome. GameCube didn't do so well. Wii, greatest, you know, selling game system of its time. Wii U, Switch blows up everywhere. Now what's going to happen? Right. You know what I mean? Like, what are they going to do next?
Nintendo VR.
Right. Are they going to...
No, I'm dead serious. Where they can actually like take the
you
Switch
are toad.
And you buy the console thing, and it splits this. I mean, it'd be easy enough for them to split the screen, and they'd actually be able to condense the pixels, so that they could do VR with it. And you just snap slide the console down in, just like you would one of their one of the bays or whatever that you hook to the TV. Just slide it down on there, and all of a sudden you have Nintendo VR, and you use your Joy-Cons or whatever, and they could come out with new ways, new innovations to do it, and be able to play like Mario Party with your friends VR.
That is an interesting idea.
I mean, that seems to be the way everybody's going. I mean, the PlayStation, I think, is doing a new VR. I heard Xbox is planning on it. I'm just not sure. I haven't checked confirmation.
That's kind of my question. So I've only played one PlayStation VR game, and it's not that it was bad, but it's not something I've really enjoyed enough to ever go for it. And the Oculus is also something that, like, not bad, but not something I really care to do.
You never played Beat Saber then? No, I'm joking. It seems to be everybody saying, "Oh,
give me a real lightsaber game, and I'd go for it." But I'm not into Guitar Hero Beat Saber.
They have the Vader VR, the Vader's Castle VR that they used to just play. You could play it outside in downtown Disney, of Disneyland, and I think they released that. But the PS VR game that I played was Ace Combat, and boy. Ooh, I am glad I was not having to stand up with that one, because, you know, when you're pulling a high G turn, if you're not sitting down, you will be.
No need for haptic feedback. That's what your sack is for.
Yeah, for real. But you know, that's something I've been thinking about. Maybe as the next jump for PlayStation is getting a VR and trying that stuff out. But I haven't really committed all the way to that. But speaking of PlayStation accessories, Jamie, you sent a story over earlier this week about the PS5 controller that's designed for more accessibility for different gamers.
Yeah, I didn't look at it too much. It's circular and has all the buttons kind of laid out in a big circle, and I thought that was interesting. So,
right, wanted to make sure you saw it. It's two of them.
Oh yeah, yeah. I just see it now.
Controller, yeah.
Yep. Oh yeah, and the one has the thumbstick, and the other one has a lower one with the rings, kind of like the N64 controller top.
Right.
And the other one looks like a joystick. Yeah.
So is it supposed to be something that's more accessible for people, for someone, or something that's like wider range?
Well, it's something, you know, say someone that doesn't have the hand motions that, you know, whether it's birth or an accident, and they, you know, they can't grip a controller in the traditional way, but they still want a game. They have these controllers. I think it was like 2-3 years ago, Microsoft did the same thing. But and I'm not sure, I need to look more into these ones, but the Microsoft one, you were able to kind of like assemble in whatever order worked best for you. One of the promos, they saw a guy that had lost both his arms in Afghanistan, and so he played with his feet, and he was able to make the controller work just as well. And I'm 90% sure that he owned me in a Call of Duty match one time.
Need lots 90%. Of Lysol for that.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's it's really cool. It's really cool that they're finally doing something like this and not relying on third party people to actually make them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the look of it reminds me of those new courtroom recorder controllers that they have now.
Oh, yeah.
Where they can, I mean, I don't know if I'd ever get used to trying to type like that, but they can type like 200 words per minute if they practice with it. And it's just a bunch of little joysticks, and it's got four ways and four letters per thing. And so it kind of reminded me of that a little bit. So I was like, okay, I think for me looking at them right there, the people who can't supinate, I think will benefit the most from that, because most of the time when people can't supinate, their hands stay flat. They can't put their thumbs vertical, they stay horizontal. So I mean, it looks like it would benefit someone with a problem with supinating on their hand.
Yeah, I just think it's like really that. Cool. Okay,
yeah, it is.
Pokemon badass time.
I don't want to talk about this. I don't agree with Jeremy's opinion.
Okay, so the news out that the Pokemon anime will end Ash's journey. And they're bringing back Misty and Brock for the send off and all that stuff. But they're moving on from protagonists. As you pointed out earlier, they tried to do this in Dragon Ball Z and it didn't work.
So I found an article that was like, Pokemon successfully doing what Dragon Ball never did. And it was moving from the main protagonist to a different protagonist. And I'm like, first of all, it hasn't been successful yet because it hasn't happened yet. And second of all, I think they did a good job. People just really like Goku. So it was good effort.
Yeah.
They're going to call it Ashes to Ashes, Dust to Dust.
Oh, he's back.
I don't think it will be successful. And because honestly, I've watched Pokemon from the beginning and I don't have a problem with Ash. Like,
you know, so
nothing but grow, and I fucking love it.
So I have this again. I don't watch Pokemon like you, you do, but you know, I was off of Ash's journey in Pokemon after he left the first place. Like, you know, just the Kanto stuff. That's why, right? Yeah. Which is that's it. And I was like, cool. So to me, they could have said that they replaced Ash 7 years ago, and I would have been like, oh, cool. Like
I actually confessingly thought Ash has not been a part of the Pokemon for quite a while. I thought they already did this.
Nope.
So
and
this
Team Rocket's still there too. He just changes out partners. And in the Sun and Moon one, there's an episode or a couple episodes where they actually bring Brock and Misty in to come and like hang out, and all the new people meet all of the old people, and it's like super cute and I love it.
Guys, what if they kill Ash?
They can't. No. What if they kill Goku and it still didn't work?
They can't. They would have to kill Pikachu too, because the Sith Lord, like they have. It's the rule
right,
of two.
Right.
It's the rule of two, just like the Sith. They, you know, it's, it, but right. In the opposite effect, one can't die without the other one dying.
They were
as well.
Both. They were
no.
Both,
it's more like Voldemort and Harry.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
They're both eaten by a Whelmer. That's how they leave.
So, but that's also a good point, because if they retire Ash, they have to retire Pikachu, and Pikachu is Pokemon mascot. They won't do that.
Are you sure Pikachu's not going to be the carryover character? That's the one that like Ash retires, and no, and then Pikachu goes with his new trainer.
Oh
and
my
Ash
god!
Is like, there you go,
what
buddy.
If, what if Pikachu becomes a trainer himself,
and then he gives Pikachu? Oh, and then he gives Pikachu the hat. He's like, here you go, big guy.
Oh,
and
no,
he takes off
I'm
the fingerless
cry.
Gloves and gives them to the new kid.
Or Pikachu offs him by accident with like a lightning bolt and then joins a new trainer and then is
like he's
all
standing in a
shady.
Puddle.
Like PTSD.
Right? He's standing in a puddle and he does an AoE lightning attack and Ash just drops to the fucking ground.
Ash gives up his Pokemon training to go get a fucking 9-to-5 job punching fucking time clocks in Tokyo somewhere. Riding the train.
You know what? The only thing I can think that they would do good with retiring Ash as the main character if he then became a side character, like a professor.
A professor,
like,
yeah.
Ash that... was the new professor.
Yeah.
I don't that, know. I'm yeah, not into it. I don't yeah. like it.
So then Ash can be the single guy hanging out in the town with all the moms and no dads.
He could just be known as Ash Professor.
And Misty has a kid. Who knows the dad is?
Yeah, who knows who that dad is?
Although it would be interesting if it was Ash's or Brock's, considering.
One of each. All right. So I want to talk about... your guys's games that you're looking forward to the most that are coming out in the next calendar year. So whoever wants to start, go ahead.
Dead silence. No, I'll go first. So obviously the one coming up soon is Hogwarts Legacy, and I absolutely cannot fucking wait for that game because we're not getting the Harry Potter like timeline. We're getting pre-Harry. Like, I think this is even pre-Voldemort, pre-Albus Dumbledore, or maybe this is just when Albus is still in school. I mean, maybe that's a surprise or something. I have no idea, but I know it's like the late 1800s. And I'm like, this is awesome because it gives them an opportunity to be like, we don't have to follow any of that timeline storyline. We just have to maintain the universe and then immerse you into it. And that's fantastic to me. I have been anticipating this game for a long time, and I thought we were still going to wait. And then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, it's coming out soon. And I'm like, what?
Well, that's so awesome. So part of it's coming out in February. Part of it's coming out in April.
Yeah, depending on what version you get.
Yeah, what system you're going to get. And I was like, that's still forever away.
I'm getting it. I'm getting it for PC, so I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that's the full version.
I think people are getting it for consoles, and the consoles is in April.
Well, nice. So it's PS5 and Series X and PC are coming out in February. PS4, Xbox One are the ones that were put. So the last gen consoles
that's
are coming
weird.
Out later.
Okay. Well, it's probably because they have to take out a lot of assets and all sorts of stuff to make them playable on those consoles. So
it's very odd to me.
Whereas they've been developing it for the new gen consoles and PC the whole time, they're going to have to dim it down and then do some tweaking to make sure that it is playable day one.
Right. And I'm seeing this now, not for Switch till July 25th.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's like right before my birthday.
Hey, you want to know something neat about that Hogwarts game?
What's up?
Do you know where the video game developer is and where they're located?
No.
London.
It is Avalanche Software out of Salt Lake City, Utah. They
work
on They worked on Disney Infinity.
Nice.
And then Disney closed them, and then Warner Brothers Interactive acquired the studio and reopened it in 2017. So,
nice.
So yeah, so it's a local game.
Nice. Hell yeah. And then moving on from that one, though, the next one is Diablo 4, which comes out in June. I am absolutely
I really want to play Diablo with both of you guys.
Yeah, Diablo 4. I'm getting the waifu into it, too. I'm hoping to get her a PC build by then so that her and I have a game we can play together. I'm loving what they're doing to it. So as we know, as Diablo fans who have played it, know that each game had its focus of what it wanted to do. And like the first one's just kind of story, kind of setting up it, basic stuff. Two was the loot. Everybody played that game to loot like no other. And then three focused mainly on like leaderboard, like competitiveness, because there was only so much you could do with the base game. And then from there, it was just how much beefy can I get my person and how fast can I do greater rifts and all that stuff. Well, this one is taking all the aspects of all of that and making like possibly the best Diablo we've ever seen.
Yeah.
And
I'm excited.
I like how a lot of what I'm seeing is mixing a bunch of theologies. Instead of just a Christian style theology, there's some paganism mixed in with that.
Nice.
All sorts of stuff. And I'm really excited for this one. I've been following it up until about a month ago. And then as soon as the release date came out, all the videos I've seen are all just like reasons why I hate it, because they're all playing the alpha, which pisses me off because I signed up for it and they wouldn't let me play it. so they're just like things I hate about it, all that. And I'm like, no, give me an update on the game. Like, quit saying what you like and don't like about it, because all you're going to do is make me jealous.
Right.
I'm really looking forward to that one. And then Final Fantasy 16, that one I definitely will give a try. I'm willing to let them surprise me, but some of the stuff I've seen, I kind of miss the turn-based ATV systems. Mm-hmm. Like, I really wish they would make a hybrid of this new system and go some old school on it.
Did you like 13?
I hated 13.
You hated 13?
I hated 13, but I liked 15.
Really?
For what it was, I liked it.
I did not like 15, and I did really like 13.
I really didn't like 13. It was just too... It reminded me too much of Final Fantasy X, too. Like... Mm. It just
I love 10 too.
I really couldn't get into it. I didn't mind the story too much. It was the let's play 30 hours of linear path and then give you one open area just before the end of the game. I'm like, what the hell?
Right.
I'm like, that worked.
See, and
that,
I struggle that with open world games, so that makes sense.
Yeah, that worked for Final Fantasy 10 because the story followed along with it, but 13's just kind of like, hey, before you go fight the end, here's a big open area. You can go hunting and do all this weird stuff, and then you can go back to the story. Or you can just go all along with the story. And I can't really get into this. Whereas 15, basically, I mean, it was rare you found where you couldn't explore new areas, but it was so big that it kind of wanted you, like, you wanted to maintain somewhat of a linear path. I liked 15 for what it was. Is it one of my favorites? Absolutely not. But I liked it enough that I wanted to finish it. Whereas 13, I couldn't finish it. I just couldn't. But 16, I'm hoping they surprise me with something. I hope it's not just, hey, we've got a new story and it's got the same system as 16 or 15. I really don't want the same fighting system. I want something new, something I haven't seen before. And I mean, Square does have a good track record of doing something really new pretty much every game, whether it's a hit or miss on its new stuff. I think that's person to person opinion. Some people love stuff. Some people hate stuff. Like, I loved the Gambit system from 12, but I knew people that absolutely hated it and thought it would just made the game lazy. And I'm like, no, for people who just want story and to not have to do the same battle 12 times and go level up until they can do it, you use the Gambit system to basically power level yourself to where you can continue on with the story.
Right.
You know, it was a utility. It wasn't, for me, it wasn't a game breaker. It was more of a utility. You could use it if you wanted to. You didn't have to if you didn't want to. But it was really good, especially since you didn't control the action of every character in turn. Taking the ATB system away, I thought the Gambit system was perfect for making your characters do what you would normally have them do. You just didn't have to continually switch characters to do it. So I liked 12, and 15 kind of implemented its own thing like that as well.
Okay. Captain Platinum, do you would like to go next on games that you're looking forward to?
Sure. Spider-Man 2. That is, I believe, towards the end of the year. And then we have the new Zelda game in May, which means I should probably finish, the first one, Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. And the Now expansion.
Yeah, and the expansions and everything that goes with it. What else? Is there a new Assassin's Creed this year as well?
I don't believe
I didn't see Assassin's Creed, but I saw Horizon Call of the Mountain.
Is that the VR one? I actually
did see an Assassin's Creed in there. I'll have to go back to the article.
Yeah. But
I believe there was an Assassin's Creed in there.
Yeah, I thought there was one supposedly like end of last year.
I haven't heard much about
Assassin's Creed Mirage.
Mirage, yeah.
I haven't even seen anything about that, which is really weird because usually they're like, look at this new Assassin's Creed we're putting out.
Yeah.
No, always.
I do love that it's like every other year right now and not every year. I'm like, thanks for taking a break off.
Assassin's Creed Valhalla, like they took their time on that and it showed that it was worth taking the extra effort. People absolutely loved Valhalla. So I'm cool with them not putting one out every year because when they were putting one out every year, they sucked.
I agree.
Except Odyssey. Odyssey was great.
But that was after they took a break, I think.
So. Oh, okay.
Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Fallen Order is the free game of the month on PlayStation. So it's a great, hey, we'll give you a month or so to get caught up, and then the sequel's coming out. So I'm looking forward to that. That is March. And we already talked Final Fantasy 16. So, yeah, those are like the main things I think I'm looking forward to.
Okay, so for me, one of the ones is, I don't know if you guys played the old game, Company of Heroes. It was the World War II.
I played it.
I remembered. Like, I didn't ever play it, though. I think I was working at GameStop when it came out.
Yeah, I loved it. And the third one is coming out, so I'm excited about that. You guys did kind of touch on some of the other ones, Zelda and such. You guys remember 5 years ago when Ubisoft said that they were going to make a pirate game called Skull and Bones?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it's supposed to release March 9th. It has been delayed for 5 years. So until I see it somewhere, I do not believe this. But that is one, because I always liked the idea of Sea of Thieves, but I was like, you guys know, when I played Black Flag, all I did was the pirate shit. And I was like, I just want a game that's this. And then I said, oh my God. Ubisoft, the guys who made this game,
I just want a chance at scurvy.
Like, right. I want my search to be for fresh fruit so I don't die of scurvy. but I was, and then I saw Ubisoft, the guys who made Assassin's Creed, making this. I was like, this is what I wanted. And it's been 5 goddamn years and I still don't have it. So that's one of mine on there, but again, I'll believe it when I see it. The RE4 remake should be pretty good.
RE4, right? Not 5?
4, yep.
Yeah, the remake of 4.
Yeah, RE4. Yeah, that's March, and then that made me think of Dead Space, too.
Right.
I loved the first one. I'm curious to see how they update it. I never played 3. I played 1 and 2. Never played 3. A lot of 3 got a lot of shade, if I remember right, and I think a few people loved it, but I remember a lot of people hated it. So be interesting to go back to the Ishimura with Isaac Clarke and take out some Necromorphs. But
yeah,
I don't know if I want to pay full price on day one for that, though.
Yeah. So another one, and I know Sam knows that I love this franchise, and it's kind of been lacking in mainline releases for the last couple of years, but Forza Motorsport is coming back in 2023 for next gen only stuff. They haven't had any. They've had like their offshoot ones like Forza Horizon and stuff like that. But you know, I've obsessed about that franchise. So that coming back is going to be, it's going to be excellent.
Yeah. I think it is, because I've actually seen a rise in people wanting motorsport style games, you know, racing games. And there's, I mean, in the past 4 years, I've seen quite a plethora of games that weren't Gran Turismo or Forza, which surprised the hell out of me.
And they finally brought Gran Turismo back this year.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's good to see the big hitters coming back.
Yeah.
Even though the little hitters are actually pretty cool. Like I played The Crew 2 a little bit with some friends, and that one was kind of actually really cool. I mean, it's kind of like an open world adventure with a car. It's pretty fun. But it doesn't have that feel of just I'm racing. That's just what I'm doing. It kind of made it like, well, what if you had, it kind of took Need for Speed, the one after Underground 2, where it just kind of opened the world and you could do all that, but it widened it and added rally and all sorts of stuff to it. So I kind of did like The Crew. I just, it's kind of one of those games that if your friends drop out, you kind of drop out, because it's kind of hard to play by yourself.
Right. My next two are both Bethesda properties. Redfall, the vampire shooter one. From the Prey developer, looks pretty cool. And then of course Starfall, they're
that one actually interested me just because of the cover. I was like, that kind of looks Star Wars-y.
Right. Well, and they also said they confirmed that it'll be the first half of 2023. So June to tomorrow, if they wanted to, but we'll start seeing once they start doing the blitz for the media, we'll know. Another one that's coming out in April that I really want to see and I know Panda Pat's on this one with me too, Star Trek Resurgence.
It looks so good.
it's a adventure game, like a narrative driven sci-fi adventure game, like the Telltale games. So you know I'm all about those.
Let us know what era it's in?
It's right around Nemesis. So the movies, the next gen movie universe. Alan Wake 2 is another one. Again, Sam probably heard me talk about Alan Wake way too much back in the day. But that one is one that I'm really excited for too. Again, as well as the Spider-Man one. But that's kind of in the Jedi one. I think that's about it for me. It's going to be a very good year for video games
and movies. It looks like. I know that's not what we're here for, but this is going to be one of those years like 1994 for movies. I just want to put that out there for games and movies, which is really weird because usually we don't have the best games with the best movies year. This is going to be one of those years where both of them line up. So we're going to be entertained as shit. So,
yeah, and I've actually kind of speaking on games and media, I started watching Sonic Prime on Netflix. It's genuinely good. It's genuinely good.
He's sitting there in his Sonic suit watching it.
Goddamn right. Is there any other way?
I know this is real.
But yeah, no, it's awesome. Like, and the episodes are actually pretty long for it. It's like 45 minutes per episode. Oh, and there's eight of them for an animated show. I'm like, wow, this is intense. Really good though. I want to try and finish it, but I don't want to fly through it. Kind of one of those things. But before we go, I will probably end up starting this tomorrow. But I am going to start streaming old Sega Genesis games. I have the on Steam. It's the Genesis Classics Collection. And my goal by the end of the year, maybe not to beat every single one, but stream pretty far into every single game that is on there. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I'm going to throw out a few, like Alex Kidd, Altered Beast, Comic Zone,
Echo.
Oh, don't worry. Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, Echo the Dolphin, and Echo Jr. We've got Galaxy Force, the Golden Axe games, Gunstar Heroes, Kid Chameleon, the Phantasy Star games. Those ones will probably take me the longest because those are RPG style. We got Revenge of Shinobi, Rystar, Shining Force, all the Sonic the Hedgehogs, Streets of Rage, which would be fun to get a co-op with you on, Sam.
Yes, because Streets of Rage 2 is one of my absolute favorite Genesis games of all time.
Perfect. And then we've got like Toe Jam and Earl, Vector Man, Virtua Fighter.
Ren and Stimpy.
There's more in there, but those are kind of the ones. But I'm probably going to start tomorrow. I might just start off with Sonic 1 and just go through that. But I have been debating, and I know, again, Sam, I showed this to you. They have mods for Streets of Rage. One of the mods for Streets of Rage turns it into TMNT. It's the TMNT Hyperstone Heist. But yeah. And I am a jerk because I don't think I let Pat talk about games she's excited for.
You did not. I was going to let it slide.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Star Trek was already said and Diablo was already said, and I interjected enough on those that I felt good about it. One that I'm excited for that I probably won't play much of because I get very scared is Fatal Frame. I love spoopy games.
They're doing another Fatal Frame? I didn't see that.
They are. Yeah, it's in April.
Oh my god, that's
PS2
era.
Yeah, so I'm like super excited about that because I have the butterfly one. I can't remember the name, but I'm like, oh my god, take pictures to keep the ghosts away from you. Obviously Kirby, because fucking I love Kirby.
Oh yeah, that's Return to Dreamland, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And yeah, I know my kids will be all over that shit.
So it's nice. We're gonna get more of that. Yeah, I'm super excited for that one. Obviously, I'm excited for more 7. I haven't played the new stuff, but that's simply just because I just barely got a PS5. So I'm excited for more 7. I'm excited for... I'm kind of excited for the Harry Potter game, but, like, I, you know, like, that looks like a lot. And, you know, obviously, I already have a lot. So, Spider-Man looks good. And then there's actually mobile game that I'm super excited about. It doesn't have a date yet, but Mortal Kombat Onslaught was the name. It doesn't have a date yet, but I'm really excited because I always want to like play a mobile game that like keeps me distracted. You know, when I'm bored at work or whatever, and I just keep doing all these ones that are like, you know, take my money so I'm good at it, and like I end up spending too much money on these games, so I try to avoid those ones. And this one is it. I don't know if it's going to be a money one, but I'm excited to give it a shot. So yeah,
those
are the ones I'm excited for.
So back what I was saying about the mods on Streets of Rage, there is and I know I've shown it to Sam before, but there's a mod where it replaces every single punch with the Tim Allen grunt from Home Improvement.
Oh no.
So every punch is
Oh my god. Yes,
so
that makes me happy.
I might do, once I finish some of those, I might do, I'm trying to see if there's a mod there for the Simpsons Konami game, because I would love to play that one.
Yeah. All right.
But yeah, that's about all I had for the episode. You guys had anything else you want to throw out there before we wrap it up?
Nope.
Not I can think of.
Okay.
I'm good.
All right. Well, I guess on that note, thanks for listening, everybody. Oh, and Captain?
Yeah, Loop.
There was something. It's a new year. It's really hard. What was the thing?
Well, if it's already hard, you need to game harder.
Oh, that's it.
Oh my god! I hate you guys. This suspense kills me.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Peace. Bye, guys.